Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
I want to jump into a scripture in Luke chapter 1, verse 5 to 21, where we see the story of Zechariah, John the Baptist's father. And so it says, "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God." Everyone say righteous before God. "Walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in their years. Now while he was serving as a priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by a lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And Zechariah was..." "And there appeared to him..." "Because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both in their advance in their years. Now, while he was serving as a priest before God, when he was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by a lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitudes of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine, no strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and they will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared.' And Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years.' And the angel answered him, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news.'" Everyone say good news. "And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until that day that these things take past, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." See, I encourage you to put yourself in Zechariah's shoes. His whole life, he was preparing to become a high priest. This was everything that he knew. So he understood the gravity and the weight of the presence of God. Because back in those days, not just any random person could enter into God's sanctuary. It had to be a priest. And for this specific duty, it had to be a priest from a specific bloodline, which Zechariah was from. And so he understood the ritual of cleaning himself properly. And he understood the weight that if he did not... The risk was not just a slap on the wrist. The risk was death. Because what was clean and what was pure and what was holy, which was the presence of God, could not be in the same space as what was unclean. And so I tell you this to paint this picture that he understood the glory of God. Zechariah understood that people entered into the presence of God and left different. That they were no longer the same once they came out. That they had experienced and encountered something that was not accessible to every single man. And so for this priestly duty, only three were required. So one priest would set the burning coals on the golden altar. Another priest would arrange the incense so that it was ready for the third one. And then those two priests would leave the temple, and Zechariah, the last priest, would begin to burn incense and say prayers to God. And the prayers that he was going to pray would be on behalf of the children of Israel. So he would be representing them in this moment. And so we can imagine the kind of prayer that Zechariah would have prayed. Because in this time, the children of God were under Roman rule. And they were suffering. They were oppressed. And so we can imagine that Zechariah, in this moment, as he's burning incense, is praying that, "God, would you send a Messiah? Would you send a savior? Would you deliver us from our enemies?" But we know that the deep part of his heart, he carried this desire, this longing for a child. And so this opportunity that Zechariah had was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for a priest, because at this time there was around 20,000 priests. And so they would have to cast a lot, which is like rolling a dice. So it was by chance that Zechariah happened, which we know it's not by chance, it's God's plan. He happened to be in the presence of God. And in this moment, carrying this desire, in this moment, interceding alongside the people that were outside the sanctuary, an angel appears. And the angel appears and delivers good news. Good news for Zechariah, that he and him and his wife will bear a child, but good news for the people of Israel, because through this child, the Lord was coming. Like all of us, Zechariah had a deep desire in him. And his wife, and they prayed for a child for many years. If we remember, Zechariah was a high priest, so he had the Torah memorized. He knew the story of Abraham, which sounded a lot like his, the father of faith. He waited his whole life to be in this place where heaven met earth. And in that moment, the angel shows up, telling him good news that his heart has longed to hear for years. And in that moment, Zechariah doubted. Zechariah doubted. In the place where faith should have been easiest to have, in the presence of an angel of the Lord, providing the answers that you and your wife have been praying and crying for years, in the place where shame would have been exchanged for joy, Zechariah doubted. Now we go a few verses down, and 6 months later, the same angel sent a similar message delivered, but a completely different response. We go to Luke 1, 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him to his throne of his father, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child will be born and will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is her sixth month, with who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Everyone say, "Nothing will be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. See, the same angel, similar message, different response. Mary, a 16-year-old girl with her whole future ahead of her. She was engaged to a kind and noble man called Joseph. She had everything planned out. She was getting excited and ready for this marriage. But she's met with this message. She's unfamiliar with the prophecies of the Messiah in comparison to Zechariah. But she's met with this. And she knows that the risk of this miraculous pregnancy, like I said, was her engagement, was her reputation. A 16-year-old girl, not married, out of wedlock, pregnant, it also risked her life, because they would have stoned her for this. But Mary responded with faith. In comparison to Zechariah, who was familiar with the presence of God, who was in the presence of God, Mary responded with faith. A place where fear should have overcome, Mary had faith. Where shame would have seemed to be the end result, Mary had faith. There was no worship, there was no gathering of people, there was no ritual, but in that moment, Mary had faith. She simply received the word of God through faith, and the word met her faith, and the promise of the salvation of the world was conceived in the womb of a 16-year-old girl because she had faith. See, reading these two accounts, there was something I just couldn't understand. And I was asking the Holy Spirit, why silence Zechariah? Why not rebuke him? Why not correct him? Why not choose another person? Why silence Zechariah? And the Holy Spirit began to teach me about the relationship between his word and our faith. See, the Bible says that faith comes through hearing the word of God. And this is why we share testimonies, right? This is why we preach the gospel. This is why we sing songs about his goodness, because it stirs our faith. But in the same way, the enemy can spread seeds of doubt that pollute the faith of those around him. And we see this in Matthew 13, verse 58, when Jesus goes back to his hometown after he's begun his ministry. And I can imagine that Jesus is probably so excited to showcase his glory to the people that he grew up alongside with, to the people that loved him, to the people that some of them were his spiritual fathers and mothers. Some of them raised him up. Some of them probably helped him with his homework and stuff like that. I can imagine Jesus' excitement to go back and to minister to these people. And the Bible talks about how he went to the synagogue and he's preaching. And they're amazed. They're wondering, where did this man get such knowledge? Where did he get such wisdom? But then I can picture it, just one person standing up, realizing, wait, I know that man. Isn't that Jesus? Isn't that Mary and Joseph's son? Mary's son is saying these words. Joseph, the carpenter's boy, is saying these words. And you can imagine now how the congregation's faith began to dilute, because doubt polluted the faith in the atmosphere. And the Bible says he could not do many miracles because of the lack of faith. What? The living word. Let's understand this. The living word was limited because of the faith in the room. Come on, we need to be a people that have childlike faith, that we believe God at his word. We say he is the one that breaks chains, that he is the God who does impossible things. Let's not let our faith dilute. Let's not let our faith delay the promises and the plans God has for us. And God reminded me of another scripture, which we find in Exodus, and it's the 12 spies who have been sent out into the promised land to scout it. So the children of God had been walking through the wilderness and they had actually made it. They were right there. The promised land is right there. They're here. And they've sent 12 spies in to kind of, you know, suss it out, see what's going on. And they come back and 10 have an evil report about the land. So wait, God's promised this generation, God's promised the children of Israel for generations that they will inherit this land. They know it. Even when they were in slavery, they knew the promises of God. God made this promise to Abraham, and they're right there. But the Bible says the evil report of 10 caused them to wander the wilderness 40 years. See, a journey that was 11 days to get to the actual destination took them 40 years to enter because of the lack of faith, because doubt polluted their hearts. And only Caleb and Joshua's descendants made it into the promised land because they had faith. So what does that say, church? Let's not let our doubt delay the promises and plans of God in our life. Let us have childlike faith. See, the angel Gabriel, he knew of this. God knew of this. So God could not allow Zechariah's doubt to pollute the congregation that was outside the sanctuary, praying, interceding. These people were desperate, ready for the Messiah to come. They were waiting because they knew about the presence of God. They knew that knowledge of when people walk in, God meets them and they come back different. So they're expectant. What is Zechariah going to say? What has the Lord said? When is our Messiah coming? But Zechariah's doubt would have polluted the faith in the atmosphere. So God had to silence him for the mercy of Zechariah and his people. For the mercy of us, God had to silence Zechariah. God could not risk, for the assignment that John had was too great. It had to be accomplished at the time that God had set it out to do. We read it again in Luke 1:20, and behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until these things take place because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. These words needed to be fulfilled at the time God assigned it. This child was to prepare the way of the Lord. Heaven and earth had been waiting for this moment. And despite Zechariah's unbelief, despite our belief, God's word does not return to him void, but it accomplishes everything he sets it out to do. And as I was praying into this morning, God gave me kind of an image to help me honestly understand this principle that he was showing me and teaching me. And it was of a plane hovering in the air, looking for somewhere to land, looking for the right landing strip. And I felt so clearly the Holy Spirit say, this is like my word that has been released. Because it doesn't return back to him, but it waits. Who has faith? The Bible says God searches the earth for hungry hearts. See, God's word is ready. Is your faith ready? Have you prepared a place in his heart for his word to land? Have you prepared in your life a faith so God can actually meet you there and his promises to be fulfilled? God is looking for a people with childlike faith. But unfortunately, the level of our faith can change when we see his word come to pass. The level of our faith can delay when we receive it. Do you have childlike faith? Examine your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. It's convicting and it's challenging because we talk about being people who live by faith and not by sight. But when faith becomes too uncomfortable, when faith is too hard, we jump right back into what we know. We jump right back into what we can see. See, that was Zechariah's excuse as well. I'm an old man. What do you mean? Even though the setting was perfect for faith, he still had doubt. Even though he was in the presence of God, he still had doubt. Let us be a people who have childlike faith. And that phrase, I love it, because if you've ever seen a child, you can honestly tell them anything. If their father tells them, I'm going to buy you a car. I remember my dad, I was like, it was really funny actually. My dad, he like, when he's falling asleep, you can get him to say yes to anything. That is the key, thank you. That is the key. When he's falling asleep, we can all come to him and be like, Dad, can you get me this? And he'll be like, yeah. And I believed him. I was like, Dad, can you get me a car? And he was like, and I think I was like 8 or something. And he was like, yeah. And I was so expecting. I was like, yes, I'm getting a car. I would tell everyone I'm getting a car. Because I was a child. Anything my father says, I'm going to believe. So that is childlike faith. When God has released his word, why do we act like he's not able to fulfill it? Why do we act like it's not already done? Let us be a people who have childlike faith. And the next passage I felt the Holy Spirit lead me to was the story of the woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5. And we are familiar with this story. This woman suffered for 12 years with this condition. She'd been to doctor after doctor, tried medicine after medicine, nothing could heal her. Nothing could cure her. But then the Bible says she heard the reports about Jesus. So remember, faith comes from hearing. She heard the reports about Jesus. And she said to herself, if only I touch the edge of his garment, I will be made whole. If only I'm close enough to touch the edge of his robe, I will be made whole. And so she does it, and instantly she's healed. And Jesus is at this time is surrounded by a crowd. There's everyone. There's lots of people everywhere all around him. And he stops and yells out, who touched me? The disciples are like, he's crazy. He's lost it. What do you mean who's touched you, Lord? Do you not see that? Someone touched me. Who touched me? And the Bible says it's because he felt power leave him. And I remember the Holy Spirit showing me this verse in Malachi 4 verse 2, which says, "But for you who fear my name with awe-filled reverence, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings." And in its wings, this phrase is interchangeable with the edge of his garment, or healing in the edge of his cloth. This word written in Malachi 400 years before the birth of Jesus, a prophecy about Jesus. Remember the word? This woman's faith pulled that word into her reality. She didn't pray. Because if we remember this story, Jesus is walking to Jairus' house to go pray and lay hands on his daughter. But this woman, she did not even pray or say a word to Jesus. But her faith attracted the word of God that was released over Jesus 400 years before. I want to be a people that have that kind of faith. That the word of God has been spoken and my faith attracts it into my reality. I'd love to get the band up. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, it is impossible to please God without faith. For whoever comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who diligently seek him. Too many times we miss out on fully enjoying the promises of God because of our disbelief. See, Zechariah, after hearing this good news from the angel, he couldn't go back out rejoicing and jumping and share the news. He couldn't tell the people that were waiting, "Our Messiah is near." He couldn't. He couldn't tell his wife after years and years of praying, "It's finally happening." He couldn't, because his disbelief put him in bondage. His disbelief limited the experience and the joy that he could have received from receiving the word of God. Let us not be a people who are doubtful, but let us be a people who have childlike faith. We must come to God knowing that he exists, believing that he rewards. The Bible says faith is the evidence of things you are not seen. The kind of conviction that you must carry to believe something before you've even seen it, to believe something before you've even imagined it. That is the kind of faith we need to have. 9 months, Zechariah was in bondage because of his disbelief. And I love this. For the moment that he came into agreement with God's word, something happened. So Elizabeth at this moment has now given birth to John. The neighbors are rejoicing. Her relatives are rejoicing. Everyone is excited, full of joy. Zechariah, for 9 months, still mute. And Elizabeth, they ask her, "What are you going to name the boy? What are you going to name?" And she's like, "John." "John? There's no John in our family. What do you mean?" And it was custom for the Jew in those times, for the father to name the first child. So they look over to Zechariah. "Okay, Zechariah, maybe you've got some more sense. What's the name of the boy?" He writes out John. And in that moment, when he came back into the agreement with the words that the angel had spoken, the Bible says his mouth was opened and the Holy Spirit came upon him and he began prophesying. Prophesying about the Messiah, prophesying over his son. There's something so powerful when we actually believe the words of God, church. Something happens. And a side note, I really felt this as I was preparing. That there are fathers in this house, you need to begin to prophesy over your children. Maybe your heart is disappointed in the way that they've chosen to live their life. Maybe they're far from God. This is the time to rise up and speak in faith, because God's word is available and it is ready to move. Would you leave them an inheritance of faith? Would you show them and demonstrate to them childlike faith? May we demonstrate childlike faith. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.